The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. All right. Now, that was a little embarrassing. I knew it would happen one of these days, and you stand up and just have no idea what you're going to say. I mean, you know, I'm used to being embarrassed. You know, when you're up in front of people, it happens a lot. But, I mean, that wasn't one of my most embarrassing moments. You know, I mean, my eighth grade year, that was basically a comedy of errors. Yeah, I was a new kid in a new school, and if it could go wrong, it did go wrong. You know, I was... One day we were at lunch and I was fiddling with a packet of ketchup and it busted and squirted all over the guy behind me and all over his brand new shirt, or should I say all over his brand new football jersey, because he was a linebacker for the football team. Yeah, that wasn't a good day. And then, you know, of course I fell up the stairs a few times because, you know, everybody's watching and that's always fun. And you know, then there was that time that the teacher called me out. Well, that was pretty much an everyday occurrence. But the worst was I cut my finger after school one day and went to the principal's office, or the not the principal's office, but, you know, the office there. And it happened to be the brand new principal gave me a Band-Aid. And so I went outside, you know, didn't think anything else about it, put the Band-Aid on. Well, the next week, the new principal had she called everybody in the school into the auditorium, basically to give sort of a pep talk, you know, an inaugural address to the school. And in that, she talked about having pride in your school. And as an example, she used that she had given a Band-Aid to one of the students the week before, who then put the trash on the ground instead of throwing it away. Now, I don't think anybody else knew who she was talking about, but I felt like every eye in the auditorium was right on me. I wanted to crawl under my chair. That was probably the most humiliating moment of my entire life. And there have been plenty of humiliating moments in my life. I mean, you know, like I said, when you're in the spotlight, it tends to happen. But now there is a group of people in my line of work that have dealt with far more embarrassing things than I ever have. Because these guys, and they're all guys, at least on my list, have made claims that the end of the world is coming. And they were so bold as to put a date to it. Joseph Smith said that it was going to happen on February the 15th, 1891. The Jehovah's Witnesses and all of their many preachers or the leaders of their congregations said it was going to happen in 1914, 1915, 1918, 1920, 1925, 1941, 1975, and 1994. Pat Robertson, you know the guy on the 700 Club? He said that it was going to happen in 1982. That is the year that Clemson won a national championship in football and the Tar Heels won a national championship in basketball. So that was far from the end of the world. Those were great times. But then again, he also said it was going to happen on April the 29th, 2007. So much for a leap year that year, I guess. Benny Hinn, you know, the Be Healed guy, he said that the end of the world was going to come in 1993. And then this guy, Harold Camping, and he had this radio channel that called the Family Network. He said that it was going to happen on September the 6th, 1994. But then when that didn't happen, he said, no, it'll be on the 29th. When that didn't happen, he said, no, it'll be on October the 3rd, 1994. Then he said it was going to happen again on March the 31st, 1995. And then again on May the 21st, 2011, but when it didn't happen then, he moved the date up to October the 21st, 2011. Of course, then Y2K, and there were all kinds of preachers out there saying that that was going to be the end, right? Because, you know, computers were going to crash and Jesus was going to come back because it says in Revelation 2,000 years, and what do you know, that's the year 2000. Then, you know, on December the 21st, 2012, the Mayan calendar came to an end. And if you know, if the Mayans didn't plan it, then apparently God didn't either. And so that was going to be the end. And then now it's 2020, and Lord knows everybody's saying it's the end. And we've got some proof that it might be, right? But I cannot imagine. I can't imagine. Now, granted, I've had some embarrassing moments as a pastor. You know, I've stumbled over words like, well, today, you know. I have fallen flat on my face going up to communion one time. I actually had a Christmas Eve service in which the back of my pants split wide open. Those are embarrassing moments. But I cannot fathom what it would be like to have to stand in front of a congregation the Sunday after telling them that the world was going to come to an end the week before. Especially if these followers actually started doing things in response. I mean, and they have. I mean, Jim Jones said the world was going to end and all his people killed themselves. Oopsie. You know, but there have been faithful followers who have gone out and stockpiled all kinds of food and all kinds of weaponry. There have been people that have made bunkers underground. There are people that have quit their jobs, that have sold everything they have and given all their money away, all in preparation for the day that somebody said it's going to happen. And then they got to stand up there in front of all those people who've done these things and say what? How do you look folks in the eye and say, sorry. Sorry about your job and your livelihood and your retirement plan that you gave away? Maybe next Sunday. I mean, what do you do? Talk about humiliating stuff. Now, we're Lutherans, as you know, and we don't really set dates on when the end of the world's going to be. But we do talk about the second coming of Christ every single year, every Advent, right? I mean, that's what this time of the year is all about. We don't look for the coming of Christ. We look for where Christ is going to come again. And the truth is, we don't really even like to talk about it then because it scares a bejesus out of us, doesn't it? I mean, I've been studying the book of Revelation in Bible study, as I announced earlier. And one thing's pretty consistent. None of us are big fans of the things that we're reading in there. You know, the lake of fire and the beast and the dragons. And even though we know that all of these things are symbolic, it's still kind of scary. I mean, let's see a show of hands. Who here is ready for the world to end? Okay, y'all can't see that? No one raised their hand. Maybe you did at home, I would be surprised. And why aren't we? Why aren't we ready for the world to come? Because what's the promise? That Jesus is coming again. See, we look at this text in the 13th chapter of Mark, and which is known as the Little Apocalypse. You know, in comparison to some of the other that have entire books of the Bible, Mark has a chapter. And in this, Jesus has just gotten through telling his disciples about the destruction of the temple. And now he goes in and he says, you know, that the sun and moon are going to turn black, the stars are going to fall out of the sky, and the earth is going to let you know it's happening, you know. And from the fig tree, know this lesson, you know. You know when the summer's coming because of the fig tree. You can read the weather. You ought to be able to read the times of the signs of the times too. And then he says, but nobody knows when it's going to happen. But know this, you need to be awake. And so as we hear these things, we can learn three things. Number one, Jesus is coming again. Number two, we don't know when it's going to be. And number three, we need to stay awake and be ready for it to happen. But do we really believe that Jesus is coming again? I mean, now, granted, 2020 might have raised a few flags, right? I mean, even the best among us are apparently stockpiling toilet paper, paper towels, and meat right now, right? I mean, somebody's got it all. It must be you, because I can't find it anywhere. But we talk about it every year, but do we honestly believe it? Do we really think that Jesus is going to come again? Because if we did, the next two parts would come into play, right? Because we don't know when it's going to be, but we know that we better be ready and that we need to stay awake. So if we really believed it, don't you think that we would live a life that was constantly prepared for Christ's return? I mean, is it something that we just hear about in movies and on TV or read about in books and say, well, that's a nice story, but, you know, the sun's still going to come up tomorrow? But the reality is, our God has always been good on his promises. And Jesus will come again, although I don't think it's something that we need to fear. Because who is coming again? It's the same Jesus that came the first time, that came not to show world judgment, but to show salvation and love and grace and mercy. This isn't something that we're supposed to dread. It's something we're supposed to look forward to. Because right now, there is a lot to look forward to. You know, one of the main phrases that I keep hearing is, I can't wait for everything to get back to normal. But do we really want things to get back to normal? Were they so good before we had to wear masks? I mean, you know, we had good days and bad days, and granted, my glasses didn't fog up nearly as much. But we still had all kinds of division going on. There was still racism, there was still classism, and every other kind of ism that went on. There were still people starving, there were still people in pain, there were still sickness and death, right? So was the world going that great before 2020? And what we have the promise of is a time where there will be no more pain, no more crying, no more tears, when God's kingdom will be here with us. And this is something for us to be excited about. This is something for us to keep awake for. And which means that as we live our lives, we need to live in a constant state of readiness and preparedness. It's our job to prepare the way for the coming of the Son. And what does that mean? Well, think about this. When you've got somebody coming over to your house, you know, you've got somebody, out-of-town guest coming over, what do? Do you just sit around, you know, and, well, I got to run out. I'm, you know, maybe I'll be home when I get here, maybe not. Or, you know, I'm going to take a nap. They'll ring the doorbell enough times, I might wake up. Of course not. You prepare for them to come. So why would we think it's so different about when Jesus is coming? I mean, this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the one that gave his life to save us. Should we be ready for his arrival? And so how do we do that? How do we keep awake in this time? Well, I'm going to give you two suggestions for this Advent season. Number one, daily devotions. Now, many of you already do this, and if you do, great. Keep doing it. You don't have anything new to add. But if you don't, there's all kinds of Advent devotions that are coming out this time of year. Grab a hold of one and just use it every day. Start a new habit, okay? You don't even have to start today or tomorrow. You can start on December the 1st and carry that all the way through the season of Advent. That's 24 days.
Surely you can commit 24 days to doing daily devotions. See if it doesn't change the outlook on your day. But number two, there's a lot of folks, and children especially, that keep Advent calendars. You know those things. You know, when I was a kid, you would just open the thing up and it would be a silly picture. Now there's actually candy and stuff. They actually have beer Advent calendars. Every day you break it open and there's a beer inside. Now, I'm not necessarily recommending that one, but they do have chocolate ones. And they have all kinds of treats inside these Advent calendars. Instead of that, though, or along with that, let me recommend that we all keep a kindness calendar. This Advent, the way we stay awake, the way we prepare, is do something nice for someone else every day during Advent. And, you know, maybe not the same person every day. And it doesn't even have to be somebody you know, but intentionally go out of your way to do something nice. Something that you wouldn't normally do. And so what I'm saying is, if you would normally give somebody a Christmas present, that's not what we're talking about. Go out of your way to do something special, something nice for someone else every day during Advent. And see if that doesn't make you more aware. See if that doesn't help prepare the way for Christ's return. Because when people see Christ around them, when people experience the love of Christ through you and through others, it'll wake them up too. It's time for us to be awake, my friends, because God is good on his promises. And he promises to come again. And this is wonderful news. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.